Okay, we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, Luke 7 and verse 11. And it came to pass afterwards, he, that's Jesus, went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she a widow. And a very considerable crowd of the city was with her. And the Lord, seeing her, was moved with compassion for her, and said to her, "Weep not." And coming up, he touched the bier, and the bearer stopped. And he said, "Youth, I say to thee, wake up." And the dead sat up and began to speak, and he gave him to his mother. On Sunday, the 28th of December, 1879, a drunk man stood on Wormit Station, waiting for the train to Dundee. I'm sorry if you've heard this before. It was a terrible night. And as the train came into the station, the wind blew his hat off. And he stumbled around trying to find it in the darkness and in the storm. And the train moved off. And he was left on the station. The train struck the superstructure of the bridge and plunged into the Tay with a loss of 75 souls. But that man was saved. Not only his life was saved, but he was saved in coming to Christ as a result. And he became a preacher in the streets of Dundee. I want to speak about divine intervention tonight. I want to tell you about a God who has intervened in the lost condition that you and I find ourselves in as sinners. I want to tell you about a God who loves you and desires to bless you, but a God who cannot act outside of his righteousness and his holiness. And you and I, as sinners, deserve God's judgment. That's what we deserve. And apart from divine intervention, that's what will happen. The world is hastening on to judgment. God swept the scene in Noah's time and repented that he'd even made man. Think of the condition of man. Is things any different tonight in the world? Is man any different? Has there been any improvement? Not a bit of it. God said he would never sweep the earth in judgment with a flood again. And he's never done it. He said he's bow in the cloud. And I find it obnoxious that a certain organization has taken over that symbol. But I'll leave that. God is acting in grace tonight towards lost and ruined sinners such as you and I. And such is the heart of God that this is the longest period, if you look back in Scripture, the dispensation, if you call it, just a period of time in which God has dealt with man. And the period of God's grace, which we are still in, is the longest of any. That speaks volumes to me about the heart of God and how he desires that you should come into blessing. You know, people like to be winners, don't they? Don't like to lose at anything. Don't like to be a failure. And even in failure, they look for positives, don't they? Oh, well, we learn something there. But you know, as far as being a sinner, you're an absolute failure. You come short. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You come short. The only man who never came short was my Savior, the one who's the theme of the glad tidings, the Lord Jesus Christ. A man apart from any other man. There's no one to be compared to Jesus. You may compare yourself with others, you know, and think, well, I'm not so bad as him. I've done my best. I've tried. What else could be expected of me? Well, I'll tell you tonight that your righteousnesses in the sight of God are as filthy rags. There is no way back for you as a sinner apart from Christ. When lost our condition, all ruined, undone, he saw with compassion and spared not his son. What an intervention that was, you know, at Calvary's cross nearly 2,000 years ago. Think of God, you know, waiting to bring Christ in. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. He waited 4,000 years exactly from Adam to the incoming of Christ. And in that period, man was tried in every way and proved a failure. What you need to understand is that you belong to a race that was finished at Calvary's cross. There's no improving that old man, you know. There's no improving man after the flesh. My Saviour came in to the human condition in order that as a man he might go to Calvary's cross and bear the judgment that was due to me as a sinner. That's what Christ has done for me. He couldn't have done it any other way. God couldn't pass the sinner by. Justice demands that he should die. But in the cross of Christ, I see how God can save, yet righteous be. His righteousness and his holiness found a way at the cross, was satisfied with the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, and his love could stream out in blessing towards lost and ruined sinners such as you and I. Think of that. What a story the story of the gospel is. It never grows old. It appeals to us, those of us who love the Saviour. We love to hear the gospel. Do you love the Saviour? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Can you say that he was there for me? That he bore my sins in his body on the tree? Paul tells the Ephesians that according to the nature, they were children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us. Think of the love of God pent up, as it were, before the incoming of Christ. God could not communicate the love that was in his heart for his creature. He desired to bless him, but there was no righteous basis to do so. Oh, the love of God is boundless. The Lord Jesus came here to tell out what was in the love in the heart of God, to tell it out in his life. We spoke of him in his life here. And you think about it. Why did man want to get rid of Jesus, a man who did nothing but good, who blessed people? Why was that? You need to understand your own heart, my friend. There is in your heart and my heart that which hates Christ. Why? Because he was a perfect man. God presented in Christ what he looked for in man. And then you begin to see how far short you come. What a life the life of Jesus was, you know. I just picked out one instant where he intervenes in a woman's life. This death had robbed this woman of her things that were most precious to her. There was nothing haphazard about the movements of the Lord. There was no wasted journeys. There was no chance in the movements of the Lord. The Lord's moving here under direction from heaven to meet this woman. He's spoken to the centurion. There's a lot going on in Luke 7, you know. It's a wonderful chapter. And he's spoken to the centurion. And the centurion said, I also am a man under authority. Think of that. The perception that that man had as he viewed Christ moving there. Think of this woman's life, you know. Think of your life. What has it been up to now? Think of the wheels of your life turning. Jeremiah was told to go down to the potter's house, you know. And there I will speak to thee. And there the potter worked on the wheels. And the vessel that he made was marred. That's you and I. Marred through the incoming of sin. But he made another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make. God began again in Christ. He began again, a different order of manhood. Here he is, wending his way to Calvary, but coming to meet this woman. Nain means pleasantness, you know. That's what it means. There was no pleasantness about this woman's life. You know, think of the wreckage of people's lives tonight. Think of the sorrow and despair. Think of the shattered dreams of persons tonight. My life without Christ is shattered dreams. Oh, won't you allow him into your life tonight? Things can be turned around for you. Turned around. You know, death lies upon everything, doesn't it? Death lies upon the world. You see, is this glad tidings? You can't escape it. Death will overtake you, my friend. It will. No one has escaped death. To this youth it came early. To others it came late. But it came. Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Man's trying to find the secret of eternal youth. It's in John 3 and 16. That's where it is. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have life eternal. Why waste millions trying to find a drug? There it is. And it's free. Why? Because Christ has paid the penalty in full. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But whosoever, what a word that is, you know. There's no one excluded tonight. No one. You can think of all these persons and the dreadful things that have happened. The things that have been done. Heaven takes account of everything, you know. Everything. Every detail. Every detail of your life is recorded in heaven. You thought about it. God keeps books. Things that you've done that you can't remember. What a day in your life when you come to Christ. When you accept him as your Savior. And come under the shelter of that precious blood. Everything that stood out against us in these books, you know, is wiped clear by the blood of Christ. What shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, my friend, stop trying to do your best. Simply accept what Christ has done for you. Well, what of your life? Maybe you're at the crossway tonight. You know, in Proverbs, wisdom stands and preaches at the crossway. Remarkable personification of wisdom standing at the crossway. Maybe you are standing at the crossway. Which way will you take? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Broad way, you know, attractive. Satan's made it attractive, but it ends in death. He won't tell you that, you know. Never tell you that. Satan's only interest in you is to prevent you coming to Christ. He knows what his doom is. He knows that. Hell was not prepared for man. Hell's a reality, you know. I know that because no one spoke more about it than my Saviour. If you go through Scripture, the Lord Jesus speaks more about hell than anybody. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, but persons who refuse the glad tidings will find themselves there. It's in Revelation. You can read it for yourself. Even in that terrible scene at the great white throne, God's books are opened. And another book is opened. The book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Check. To check the names. If your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, it can never be removed. That's marvellous. You could get away from the Saviour. One could say, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He'd lost it. But you can never be lost eternally. But that book is opened at the great white throne and it's checked. God is infinitely fair, you know. Lord Jesus intervened in this woman's life. Think of the hand of the Creator reaching out and touching that bier, and the bearers stopped. What about your life tonight? What about a meeting with the Saviour when things could be turned around completely? When you could come to God's judgment about your life and come to repentance. Just accept that you're a sinner. One could write, Jesus, take me as I am. He will. He will. This man receives sinners, and each of them, Jesus will take you as you are. All that's required is to feel your need of him, to come in repentance. I never tire of speaking of the thief, you know. I know there was two of them, but I'm only speaking about one of them. We indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. That's repentance. But this man has done nothing amiss. That's faith in Christ. It's amazing that that man saw the majesty of Christ in these dying moments of his life. Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. Think of divine grace reaching into such a place at Calvary, securing that man for time and eternity. Think of divine grace reaching into Caesar's household. Think of divine grace reaching in to these Nazis. Divine grace, the power of divine grace. It's active tonight in Worthing. It's active in this room tonight. Divine grace. Whole course of things in your life could be stopped tonight. You could have a hope beyond death. You could have an inheritance. You could have peace in your heart tonight, knowing that everything was settled at Calvary's cross. Do you have that? Do you have absolute peace in here? In regard of your past, that everything was settled at Calvary's cross. Do you have joy in the knowledge of Christ as your Saviour? in the knowledge that he's coming for you to take you to be with himself forever. These are not myths. These are realities. Christ is coming again. I am coming again and shall receive you to myself. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Do you have that hope? Do you have a living link with the Savior? That's what the Lord brought here. He brought life into this situation. Life alone is found in Jesus. Only there 'tis offered thee, offered without price or money. 'Tis the gift of God set free. What a price was paid at Calvary's cross. We wouldn't trivialize sin if we had some appreciation of the price that was paid at Calvary's cross. As believers in the Lord Jesus, we wouldn't trivialize sin. The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If Paul was the only sinner in the entire world, the Son of God would have to have given himself for him. I'm not interested in how big a sinner you are or how little a sinner you are. You need the full cleansing power of the blood of Christ. That's what you need. And it's available to you tonight. He gave up everything. He gave up the Godhead glory that belonged to him in coming into manhood. He emptied himself in coming into manhood. As a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. The Romans never invented crucifixion, but they perfected it. They found out ways to keep a man alive for over 3 days. For the suffering. Cursed is everyone hung upon a tree. My Saviour went through all that for me. And then to face God's judgment against sin. We need the Spirit's help to contemplate what the Lord went through in the garden. That cup that was mixed before him. We'll never appreciate what lay in that cup. Death was in it. The curse was in it. The judgment of God was in it. No wonder the perfection of that humanity shrunk from it. And yet the devotion to the fulfillment of the will of his God and Father, nothing turned him aside. Love never failed. It never failed. It never will fail. He gave up his life. He shed his precious blood. He gave everything. All this have I done for you. What have you done for me? What a challenge to our hearts. If you're a believer, what are you prepared to surrender for Christ? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my life, my all. Hard to sing that, isn't it? It's hard to sing it because it's possibly not true of us. But it's thick before us, you know, what Christ has done for us. Well, he's no longer in death. He's a risen, glorious Saviour. You know, he could relieve persons of these burdens. He could heal persons. He could bring life where there was death. But he carried these burdens all the way to Calvary. He carried them all. Surely he's borne our grief and carried our sorrows. What a Saviour Jesus is. He couldn't be holding of death. He's come out of death triumphant. You know, death is brought in to limit man's life and as a penalty. But the Saviour who brought in this penalty came under it himself for me. Think of that. But he came out triumphant and broke its power forever. a risen, glorious Saviour. Christ is not raised. You're still in your sins. How important it is to understand that Jesus is alive, a risen, glorious Saviour, and coming again. It may be tonight. Where will you stand? What about the man that was found in the balances, weighed in the balances, and found wanting? What if you were weighed in the balances tonight? Where would you stand? You know, when the Lord looked at Peter, Peter knew that link. And the Lord knew that link. The work of God is inviolate, absolutely, in the believer. It may be hidden. It's like the egg timer, and the sand is dropping, isn't it, into the bottom. Your life is running out. Grain by grain, it's running out. It doesn't matter if it's full or half full or nearly empty, it's still running out. And the day that you accept Christ as your Saviour, there's a diamond put in the top part. And when the last grain of sand runs out, the diamond is held. There it is, the work of God in the believer, going through to eternity. What a thing that is, to have that hope, to have that knowledge secure, to have peace with God. Not that you can make it. He made it. Made peace by the blood of his cross. What a thing it is to enter into that peace. Well, I've gone on too long, but I commend my Saviour to you. He's precious to me. He's precious to everyone who put their faith and trust in him. Allow him to intervene in your life tonight and turn things around. The part of you that will never be satisfied apart from Christ, never. Even if you've achieved many of the goals that you set yourself in life, even if you have, and those who have find when they get to the top, there's nothing there. Nothing there. Oh, the emptiness of a life without Christ. Oh, the terror of facing judgment without Christ. It's no need that anyone should do so. May you come tonight before it's too late, for his name's sake. Amen.